Well, it's just a delight to have you with us this morning. And okay. We're kind of moving and adjusting here this morning a little bit, and had a few things here and there, but we did. Lori and I just wanted to express our appreciation to you as a church body. You have brought Christmas early to us and have ministered in so many ways this past week. And so we wanted to let you know just how very thankful we are for you. We would have been thankful for you anyway, but you guys are just so amazing. And last Saturday? Yes, last Saturday, a week ago, yesterday, I called out some of the troops. I asked Dennis to bring some of the 24/7 bunch and help us, because we were going to the pre-trib conference and trying to get ready for Christmas party, and we were way behind, and on top of all that, we had just a number of projects that for some period of time had needed to be done, and it was simply not possible. We couldn't see to get things that needed to be done in a week's time. But the young people came out, and some of the other workers. There was ended up being a plethora of people, and they're hard workers too, man. Our young people really, they have fun and they work. They know how to work, man. Oh man, so they helped on Saturday, and you know, we got as much done as we could, and I was very pleased with everything. And Sherry, bless her heart, she helps us each Christmas to kind of put our house in order, and she knows how to do it. You know, anyway, she was coming on Monday next week when we went to the pre-trib conference to touch up, and boy, did she touch up. So to make a long story short, of course, when we came back from the pre-trib conference, we met with surprise there, and I'd left a ping pong table out front as we drove up the driveway, and I said, man, somebody picked up the ping pong table and got rid of that thing. And then I walked on the porch and realized that the porch that I was not able to get painted and everything taken care of, someone had done that. And then, I mean, I could go on and on, but it was in the house, and we just, Lori and I were just going, wow, wow, whoa, whoa. And we walked through the house doing that, and we just couldn't believe it. But there were a number of those projects done, and it took it really relieved us of some things that were kind of, you know, they were always just there. So all that is to say, we really wanted to thank you for all that you did. Tony came over. He brought his girls over. They not only fixed our porch banister, and man, those girls are workers too. I asked him to help me to design a dartboard. And you know what happens when you ask Tony to design something? So all I can say is you got to come see it. And then we fixed our horseshoe thing, and they just did so much work. So we're really ready for you guys to come. We'll have a great time this evening, and God bless you. We love Grace Bible Church and are very thankful for you. And this expression of love to us was humbling and overwhelming and just more than what we can express. So thank you so much for your kindness and ministering to us. And and for your consideration of us. So with that, let's turn our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 1. So we're preparing for the Lord's Supper. I love this time and season, and there's no other time like the Christmas. I mean, we celebrate the Lord's Supper once a month. And so this is our time during the Christmas season to reflect and focus and think about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I wanted to go back to Hebrews chapter 1. And as we think about the sacrifice that our Lord Jesus has made for us, and this season, I love these Christmas carols and to sing about the town of Bethlehem, that selected and chosen city where the Messiah was born, and the whole concept of Emmanuel, our Lord Emmanuel, God with us. And I think that's just the most incredible thing, that He came and took upon Himself flesh and dwelt among us. But not only that, that He dwells with us this morning, that the work that the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished on the cross of Calvary was so that we might be brought into eternal fellowship with Him. And when He ascended to heaven and sent His Holy Spirit to indwell His people, that as a corporate body and as individuals, we can enjoy this morning His presence with us as His people. And that's what church should be. It's not, you know, when we talk about church, there should be a special time where we can't wait to get here, to be in His presence, to be with God's people, and to enjoy corporate worship where the Holy Spirit and God Himself, the Spirit of Christ, comes to be with us. And those are the things that He accomplished on the cross of Calvary for us. It's the reason that He came, that we might know Him in such a way. And I pray that we as God's people would just have a real quest to know Him in a deeper way, and to grow in knowledge through His Word. He's given to us His Word. And these things are true for us, and the things that we should hunger for. So I pray that God gives Grace Bible Church a hunger for Him, a hunger for His Word, a hunger for the higher things, the better things in life. And for it was at such that that was the reason that the Lord Jesus Christ came and took upon Himself flesh and laid aside the glory that He had with the Father from the beginning, and set it aside to come as a baby and dwell among mankind and bear men's sins in His own body, that we might have life. And so we want to look for a few moments here at the Hebrews. We had began it last week. And it's such an amazing passage of Scripture. I'm going to read verses 1 through 3. God, after He spoke long ago, this is Hebrews chapter 1, 1 through 3. God, after He had spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom He made the world. And He is the radiance of His glory, the exact representation of His nature, and upholds all things by the word of His power. When He had made purification of sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Now that's a pretty incredible passage of Scripture. But our Lord Jesus Christ is superior to everything that God communicated beforehand. The things that were communicated through the prophets in various portions, in many ways, long ago, were given for our benefit because God had mercy upon us. But what the Lord Jesus Christ did in taking upon Himself flesh and coming to dwell among us to demonstrate godliness and to demonstrate who God And so we beheld His glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the radiance of His glory and the exact representation of His nature. And He upholds all things by the word of His power. So the one who created and the one who sustains everything that we know that physically exists came down among people to dwell. And that is just phenomenal. It's an amazing thing. But I want to focus for just a few minutes now on this little phrase in verse 3 when it says, when He had made purification of sins, He had sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And I want to think and meditate for a few moments as we come to the Lord's table about this purification of sins that our Lord Jesus Christ made. There's just basically three things here from this phrase that I'd like to consider. And one is that the Scripture here says that when He Himself, and I want to make the point that this was exclusively Christ's work. It was not anything else that anybody could do for you. It's not something that a loving father could do for his child humanly, a human father, or a parent, a loving parent. It is not something that a friend could do for you. When He Himself, our Lord Jesus Christ, had purified and made purification for our sins, then He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. He and He alone was able to complete that work. It's interesting because in the book of Hebrews, this that's mentioned here in verse 3 is picked up and later becomes a major theme in the book. But we look at, in Hebrews is to the Hebrew or Jewish people, but he takes this picture of the priest that sacrifice, that makes sacrifice, and brings it into the temple for the purification of sins. And there was the Day of Atonement in which the blood was brought into the temple. And the Lord Jesus Christ, in the picture that is given here, in that He Himself, He exclusively, is that Jesus Christ is both the priest and the sacrifice. He's the sacrifice and the sacrificer. In fact, that's pretty much what John chapter 10 says when Jesus said, "No one takes my life, but I lay it down of my own accord. The Father has given me authority." And what Jesus is saying is that no one crucified Him on the cross without His permission. It was permitted by the Lord Jesus Christ. He was capable of calling 10 legions of angels. He had the power, the one who spoke into existence the created world, and the one who sustains, the Scripture says, by the word of His power, did not and could not have His life taken by mortal men. And so Jesus Christ willingly gave Himself for the purification of your sin. And the Scripture tells us that it was necessary, but it's exclusive. It's only what Christ could do for you. Why is that? Because He didn't have any sin to bear on His own part, did He? He was sinless. And so He was the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And God took He that was innocent and placed your sins upon Him. And only by that work that Christ did could purification for your sin be acceptable before a holy God. God's righteousness, His justice is paid. It's in balance. And so the Scripture saying that the wages of our sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, simply means that the wages of your sin, the just penalty for your sin as a just God, must and had to be paid. And therefore, because the Lord Jesus Christ did not have sin, He was able to bear your sin for you. Your parents could not do that for you. Your friends cannot do that for you. But the Lord Jesus Christ, who is a friend indeed, and Lord of lords and King of kings, did that for you. That's an astounding thing. And so, number one, Christ's work was exclusive. The Scripture, it's a middle participle in middle, which means it's reflexive or by himself. He, when he had made a purification of sins, when he had produced it, and he did it in himself, it was an action in himself, and so that himself is supplied because of the verb there. And secondly, it is effectual. It accomplished in completeness what Christ wanted it to complete. And that's why it says, when he had, past tense, he had finished it. It was finished. And it's the same sense that was spoken in John 19:30, when at the completion of Christ, he uttered, "It is finished. It is complete." And so your salvation, your purification from sin has been made complete. The idea there is that with the priest in the temple, each year they came with on the Day of Atonement to make atonement for sin, because each year there was more sin, more need for this demonstration that blood alone, that the sacrifice of life alone could make atonement for sin. And so until finally the Son came, the Lord Jesus Christ, and his sacrifice was once for all. It is completed for you. And if you think about it, every sin that you committed was in the future. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross some 2,000 years ago died for those sins and paid the full penalty and completed the payment in full for the penalty of that sin. And so not only is his work exclusive, but it is effectual. It is complete on your behalf. He has purified you. And not only is it exclusive and effectual, but the idea of purification from sin is not the same. We're given a demonstration in the cleaning of the body, right? But it's not a physical, and not in a physical sense, although it has its physical ramifications. But what could not be done by way of purification on the outer person, the Lord Jesus Christ did on the inside of you. The inner person is transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. You are made spiritually alive. Your guilt is taken away because God's just penalty is paid. Therefore, you do not have to any longer concern yourself with how and what can I do with my sin? What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And so his work purified the inner person from inside out and transformed each one of us, all who put their hope and their trust in him. And so in closing here, I just want to make the point. If we look through these verses, you know, it says, in these last days, God spoke to us in his Son there in verse 2. And it says, he appointed him heir of all things. But notice that it says, through whom he also made the world. And Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3 says that we believe that God spoke the world in existence according to the Scriptures. You know, to Genesis, it says, and God said, and it happened. And then you look at Hebrews chapter 11 over there, and it says that for by faith we believe that the worlds were created. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the Word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. Okay, that's contrary to the evolutionist view and to modern science. But I'm okay with taking God's word over modern science. But the scripture is very clear. It was spoken into existence. I want you to think with me just a moment. Because in our verse just above there in verse 3, it says, and he also upholds all things by what? What does he uphold all things with? His word. His word sustains or upholds everything. In other words, you exist and the world exists as you know it because he sustains it with the word of his power. Okay? You got that? That's what the scripture says. The scripture says if his word did not sustain planet Earth and you would cease to exist. He and he alone sustains you. Now, this is the person that we're singing about, a little town of Bethlehem that came as a babe, okay? The one who created the worlds, it says there in verse 2. He, in other words, spoke the world into existence. And here in verse 3, he sustains the world through his word, okay? But notice what we're saying here. When he had purified... by saying, turn over to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 22, or verse 21. It's, scripture says it was for this purpose, for the purpose that of suffering for righteousness' sake that God called us for that purpose, there in 21, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving an example for you to follow in his steps. Look at verse 22. Who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges justly. And look at verse 24. And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, for by his wounds you were healed. For you were continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. Now follow with me closely here, because the Lord Jesus Christ, who created the world by the spoken word, the Lord Jesus Christ, who sustains the world that you know by the spoken word, does what in order to redeem us? He bore our sins in his own body. So what he did through speech in all creation, he did not do for our redemption. Okay? He bore it in his body. The idea is that he bears all by his word, but our sin he bore in his body. Okay, so, and again, in verse 3 there of Hebrews, it says that he by himself, or he upholds all things by the word of his power. And that upholding is, you know, the same concept of bearing. Okay, so what he sustains by his word, otherwise, for your sin, it was necessary for him to come in a body and bear that sin. So he spoke to create, he spoke to sustain, but to bear our sin, he incarnated. He came and dwelt among us. And I think that should be the focus of our celebration this morning as we come to the Lord's table, as we celebrate and have a Christmas party this afternoon, and as we continue in our walk into 2011 with our Lord Jesus Christ. Could the men come forward?